Well, for 33 years, I have been content to stand behind my husband and let him do all the talking. But he has asked me to share, and I'm glad he has, because I've anticipated, or both of us have anticipated, coming back and saying thank you for your prayers for us. Every time you prayed, we needed it. And a lot of times we couldn't tell you how to pray, but God knew and God heard, and we're here because of your prayers today. 27 months ago, Mark was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And I just want to share a few. He's been through 8 rounds of chemo, which was 8 months worth. And then he did stem cell replacement therapy. He was in the hospital for 2 weeks for that. And then he needed to go 1 year past stem cell before he could get his immunization shots. And so we are past the immunization stage for now. He'll have some more immunizations coming up in the future. But I wanted to share some of the answers to prayer. Number one, Mark has never even been nauseated, and he's never thrown up. And for me, that was a particular blessing. And I'm sure if you were in his shoes, that would be a blessing for you as well. So I'm really thankful for that. And the funny part is that they gave us a prescription for nausea. They insisted that we get this prescription filled, which we did. We were very obedient. The prescription had to be thrown out because it went out of date. Apart from his hospital stay, and a couple days or few days after he was home from the hospital, he's not missed a day of work other than going to appointments and tests and various things. And so we praise the Lord that he's been able to fulfill his ministry, even though it's been from home now, to stay away from the building and other sick people. He's never spent an entire day in bed either. And so that's been a particular blessing for him. He's been able to stay busy. He's also not missed a meal. He ate 3 meals a day. He ate 3 meals a day all through chemo, and he ate 3 meals a day even in the hospital, even though they were small ones. So we thank the Lord for that. Another blessing is when we went to tour the hospital facility where he would be, we were blessed to go on this tour with an RN who had been working with stem cell patients for quite some time. She knew the ropes. She knew how everybody would act and respond, she thought. And when we were taking the tour of the facility, Mark asked her, would it be okay if I brought a cross stitch with me to keep my hands busy while I'm in the hospital? Her response was, I don't think I would if I were you, because you're not going to be able to focus. Well, Mark went ahead and took it anyway. It's something that he likes to keep his hands busy with if the Lord lays him up. He had done this once before when he was down on his back. So he took it, and he was able to cross stitch every day with the exception of one day in the hospital. And I wish I would have thought to bring that completed project with me. It's about yay big, and it talks about old things that passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it was a real conversation piece and an opportunity for him to witness in the hospital through that. Also, during this entire time, God has met every single need, whether it was material, whether it was emotional, physical. The Lord has filled our freezer, I think, 3 times. And unsolicited, God just did that for us. And so it's been amazing to watch how God has provided and how faithful he is. And I noticed that on the wall right there. Great is thy faithfulness. And God truly is faithful. Another answer to prayer was God's perfect timing. When Mark was diagnosed and he was to undergo chemo, my son was being homeschooled and he was in his senior year of high school. And they were talking about stem cell in April. Lyle was not due to finish school until the end of May. I said, Lord, I don't know how that's going to work. So I just began to pray. Well, it ended up that Mark didn't have to go to stem cell till June. My son was able to complete his senior year of high school. My daughter was able to complete the training where she was at the time to be able to be home with me while he was in the hospital, and she could be there for Lyle as well. And so God's timing was just absolutely perfect. And I believe that was an answer to prayer as well. And also God has used Mark to witness not only to our neighbors, but to hospital staff, clinic staff, you name it. We have been in clinics, hospitals, and God has just used him in a mighty way. The cancer word has given him plenty of opportunity to witness to our neighbors as well. And some people ask me, what about you? If I were to share what has helped me these past 2 years, it would be in three P's. The first one is that I've had the purpose in my heart that I was going to trust the Lord. I remember when Mark was first diagnosed, a sister in Christ called me on the phone and she said, "Man, what you gonna do?" And I said, "Well, I told the Lord I was gonna trust him," and her terse response, an instant response to me was, "You don't have a choice." I didn't say anything at the time while I was on the phone, but when I hung up and had some time to think about it, I thought, you know what? I do have a choice. And every day I have to purpose to make that choice that I am going to trust the Lord. We do have a choice, and God delights when his children will trust him. And that is something I'm still learning, and there are times when we have to repurpose because we become afraid. But that is the first P. The second is the prayers of God's people. Hundreds of people around the globe have prayed for my husband. And I don't expect the journey would have been quite like this had it not been for people like you who have prayed for us. And we are very grateful for that. We're just really, I don't know how to express it, really. It has just meant a lot to us. The cards, the calls, the emails, knowing that people were praying consistently for us has been a blessing beyond what I can ever express. The third P would be the promises of God. Early on, a sister in Christ sent me this little booklet. It is simply scripture. Each page has a different topic. One page, for instance, is "My God cares," "My God comforts," "My God's in control," "My God gives grace or divine help," "My God is powerful," "My God wants me to think Bible." And let me stop at that one. Early on, when he was diagnosed, I had another friend in Christ who said to me, "Nancy, the battle's in the mind, really." And she was right. You know, the devil likes to get us when we go through these trials and mess with your mind. And you can imagine and analyze and picture all kinds of ugly things. And you know what? You just need to dwell on scripture and keep your mind in Christ where it needs to be. And so this booklet, you can see it's pretty bent up and maybe tear stained on a page or two. But I carry this to all my appointments. And it's just scripture. The promises of God have been more near and dear to me than ever before. We have never sensed that the Lord has left us. In fact, we have felt closer to the Lord during this time than ever in our lives. And so those three things I leave with you, and I thank you again for praying for us.
That's my favorite missionary from New Tribes Mission. We learned that in Sunday school. You know, my second most favorite, she's in Papua New Guinea. I thank you for praying for her also. Just an update on Kathy. She passed her first language check. She is low proficient, which is where she's supposed to be. And praise the Lord for that. Last time we were up here was 4 years ago. I believe you remember my son, Lyle. I think he played piano. He's still a music man. He's a sophomore at Pensacola Christian College. And, yeah, he's probably almost done the service there. He's playing in Rejoice Orchestra this morning. He is a music education major, sophomore, and he's our music man. Am I on here? Are we good? Okay, good. All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. As my wife said, we've drawn closer and felt closer to the Lord than we ever have through this crisis, and it's only because of God's grace. going through chemo is an event, to say the least. And we are very thankful for how he brought me through it graciously, and because I'm a man, and boy, when men are sick, they're sure wimps. And he was gracious to me through the chemo. But there was one thing that happened when I was doing the chemo. They gave me a steroid that went with it to, I don't know why they did that, but that's just the regimen. I would wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Ding! It's like it's party time. And there's nobody around to party with except the Lord. So the Lord and I spent some good hours of study through that time. And I want to talk to you this morning from Psalm 23. Some of the things that he has shown me in a different light. When's the last time you've seen Psalm 23 any place other than your Bible? Probably in a funeral home on a memorial card. Okay? But this morning I entitled this Psalm 23, An Encouragement for Life. This is the middle psalm of three messianic psalms, talking about the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. But Psalm 23 is familiar to us. And I just want to go through it very quickly here. I should be done by 12:31 o'clock, I think, somewhere in there. Just kidding. We'll go through it. It's only six verses, so how long could it be? Let's pray before we go into God's Word. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Lord, we've experienced that as a family these last couple of years in a real way. And Lord, I know that these people in here have experienced too. Because as a Christian, we cannot make it through life in this world without your grace and mercy to us. It's new every morning. Father, I pray that you make the Word of God alive to each one of us today, anew and afresh. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Psalm 23 starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I could probably camp there for a long, long time, but I'm not. But let's start off with the Lord Jehovah God, the self-existent one, the Holy One. Wow. And then look what it says there, is my shepherd. Can we ask for any more? Someone who looks after us. We're going to take a look at what a shepherd is. But the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is. You know, that's a present tense word. It's right now. It is a few minutes to 12. It is right now. Right now, the Lord is my shepherd. You got to ask yourself this also question. Is he your shepherd right now? You need to nail that down. Are you born again Christian? If so, then this Psalm 23 applies to you. If not, it's going to sound good. It's a very, very poetic psalm. It has a lot of comforting words to it. But it doesn't mean a thing to you unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd is somebody who looks after sheep. If you're a cattleman, you're a rancher. If you have sheep, you're a shepherd. And the Bible says we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. The Holy One, the Righteous One, the Creator of heaven and earth is my shepherd. He has all the resources in the world to watch out for me. That's because he can say that I shall not want. I have no need of anything. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, it can all be provided through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd watches over the sheep. And I shall not want. That is a comforting thing there. As long as that personal possessive is my shepherd true in your life, all these things are true for you. Salvation by decision to believe God's word. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, is alive, seated in heaven today. We have a living hope. In John chapter 10, verse 11, you don't need to turn here, I'll read it for you. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." We saw that at the cross. Now we have a Savior that can meet our every need in the holy realm of a righteous God of paying for sin. Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep." He knows us. But we also need to be and am known of mine. We need to know the shepherd. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the shepherd. Verses 27 through 29 says, "My sheep hear my voice." Are you hearing his voice on a daily basis? "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Oh, are we following? We could hear, but we could ignore. Just like Nancy said, we have a choice. We need to choose the truth for our lives. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's the gift that he has given to us, as we accept it through faith. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We sung about it. Eternal life today. No one can separate us from the love of God. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We see, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a great, great truth that is. Let that sink down and make it real in your life. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He provides for our physical needs. As Nancy has testified, the Lord has provided for our physical needs. And not only these last past 2 years, these past 23 years that we've been associated with New Tribes Mission, we've seen the hand of God provide for us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures is not only a physical provision, but it is also a complete safe place to be. A place of peace. A place fit to relax. Now, my wife says don't use that illustration, but I'm going to use it anyway because it's a good one. The grass of Michigan is not any more special than the grass of any other place where it's soft, unlike Florida. It's very coarse. You can walk through this grass and it feels peaceful, relaxing. Florida, it's a little stiff. It's a little pokey, okay? I picture this green pasture of long grass blowing in the breeze. No weeds in it. Definitely no poisonous plants because the shepherd has walked through it first before he would take his sheep there. Because he's watching out for the very best for them. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he does. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now this is very important for sheep. To have still waters because they will not drink from moving water that is making a noise. They're very sketchy people. And I said it again, I caught it this time. Sheep are very sketchy animals, just like people. We're pretty sketchy when we get in a dangerous situation. We get frightful. We may not be jumping around and nervous like a sheep might be, but we may have anxiety within ourselves. We may feel unsettled. He leadeth me beside the still waters, but the still waters is also the water of life, the Word of God. It's a great picture. But unless we be still with it, as it says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Unless we're still, we're going to run through our devotions, we're going to look at the words, but we're not going to allow them to soak in into our life. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters, a safe, peaceful place to drink in the Word of God. Now, the shepherd's going to do whatever it takes for us to have still water. Because if that stream or that river is rushing too fast, the sheep are not going to get the life-giving drink that they need. He will divert the water into a pool where it will pool quietly, and they can come and they can drink. Why did he do that? Because he cares for the sheep. And God cares for us in ways that we cannot fathom. We only get a glimpse of his love, his grace, and his mercy that's new every morning from his word. The shepherd will do whatever it took. Now, being in New Tribes Mission, our goal is to get the scripture into all the unreached language groups around the world, which is still around 2,500 languages. Think about what it took for us to get the Word of God in the English language. Several hundred years ago, people gave their lives for this translation. What are we doing with it to get it out to the rest of the world that doesn't have it? And that rest of your world, as we talked about in Sunday school, might be the neighbor next door. Might be your family. But let's meet the people's needs where they're at. With the Word of God. And we can only do that when we take time to be quiet and be close to Him. Verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. We've been giving the gift, the message of reconciliation to the world. The gospel restores people to a right relationship with God. But also, in our lives, we need our souls restored. And I believe that is through forgiveness. When He forgives us, And we realize that. It is a freedom, a release from bondage of sin that we really need to have a close fellowship with God and not allow it to be broken. It brings us that peace, that calmness, that quietness. He restoreth my soul through that. Because He's holy, because He is perfect, Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 says this, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He renews our soul. He restores our soul as we renew our relationship to Him on a daily basis of just confessing and agreeing with God that we are sinful beings and we need His forgiveness daily. The rest of that verse says, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me. A shepherd leads. A cattle rancher drives. But a shepherd leads. We have to follow. But the shepherd leads. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And how does He lead? And where does He lead? It tells us He leads us in the path of righteousness. And that's the only way He can lead us. That's the only place He can lead us. Because He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. God will never lead you astray. If you don't know God's Word, because that's how He's speaking to us today. If you don't know His Word and apply it to your life, you may not be following as closely as you possibly can. You know, Isaiah 53:6 says this, We are all sheep and we have all gone astray. We're all like the sheep. We all want to do our own thing. We all flit this way and we flit that way. And the shepherd has to bring us back. Round us up again. Bring us back into a place where we can be safe and secure again. And then when we settle down, we go, oh, wow, why did I do that? He's always there. We must be dependent on that shepherd. Remember, it said in John that we know His voice and we follow. So the application here is that He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. For whatever we do, we must be able to bring glory to Him. And as we follow, His namesake will be lifted up in our lives. And that should be our goal, is to lift Him up. Verse 4 says this, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now, if you do some research on this and read books, there's a lot of stuff out there on Psalm 23. There's a lot of books and commentaries talk about this. The valley of the shadow of death, and I think this is where we use it a lot in memorial clubs and stuff like that. Some commentators talk about the valley as being a narrow valley with sheer cliffs, and you have to go through this. And I want to take this and I want to give you a little bit different picture today. I want you to picture the valley having the same sheer cliffs. There's no way of getting out except through it. But it's a vast valley, a wide valley. See if this will stay here. I'll put this down here. A wide, wide valley. And there's really only one way to enter the valley, and that is through birth. At Christmas time, we say a lot of times that we celebrate Jesus' birth because He came to earth to die. Jesus was born to die. Well, since the fall in the garden, it's appointed unto man once to die. So we too were born to die. So we enter this valley of the shadow of death. We have death hanging over us. You know, there's no one going to get off this planet alive in this age unless the rapture happens. So inevitably, we are going to leave one way or the other, but we are born into life, and it's a valley of the shadow of death. And this valley is so wide It is as wide as this congregation because each one of us take a different path. But the exit of that valley is a little bit different than the entrance. You have a choice on where you're going to exit the valley. Because at the end of the valley, there's a wide spot. And at the other part of the valley, there's just a narrow spot. And I think you know where I'm going with this. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you're going to exit into eternity via the wide gate. If you know Jesus Christ, you've entered the narrow gate and you have a home in heaven. But all through this valley, there's a place and time that God is giving you an opportunity to put your faith and trust in Him. He'll let you wander all through this valley of shadow of death because it is appointed unto men once to die. Some of us have experienced that of friends and loved ones of young people going on before us. We are all going to die unless the Lord intervenes through the rapture. So we have the choice to choose Jesus and take the narrow way. And then all these promises of God that is in Psalm 23 is for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a promise for you, a promise that you can hang your life on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He'll make that provision for you. Because in that valley, it's not all green pastures. And in our life, we haven't always been in the green pastures. He'll lead you beside those still waters where you can have a peace during the storm. The disease of multiple myeloma that I have is a disease of the plasma in your blood. And messes with your immune system. And when we were first told about it, I also had another issue. They thought I had renal cell carcinoma. Don't go to your oncologist on Tuesday because we call it two for Tuesday. That's what they told us that Tuesday, that we need to find out what's going on in your kidney. And the doctor left the door open, and if you know my wife, she giggles, and I made a remark, and probably something like two for Tuesday, and she giggled and laughed, and it was loud, and the physician assistant, she came in, and she goes, "You okay?" I'm going, "Yeah, we're okay." She goes, "You sure?" I says, "Listen, do you want the alternative, or you want us laughing?" "No, you're doing fine," and she left. You know, even in the storm that's coming for me, they do not use the word remission. All we're doing is keeping it in check until the time that the drugs don't keep it in check anymore. And then it will get to be, by God's grace, even more a day-by-day walk with Him. In the valley of the shadow of death, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Because I chose in that valley of the shadow of death that He is my Savior and my Shepherd, I will fear no evil. We don't need to fear anything. I do not need to fear what is coming. Okay? How can you say that? Well, you don't have to, because I have a home in heaven. And this is just the door to that home. I'm trusting God for His grace and His strength to go through it. Pastor asked me, how has it refocused your life? And I said, well, it's refocused my life on what's important. My favorite missionary in New Tribes, my second favorite missionary in New Tribes, and my son. Everything else has taken a little bit less of a priority in life. Now, don't get me wrong. We have responsibilities in life. I praise God that I could be in my ministry, even from home. The technology of being, I could do my job from sitting here in a chair if I had Wi-Fi. Phone, I can do conference calls. It's just not having the personal touch that I like with the people in the office. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a promise. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A shepherd's rod is his weapon. It is a little stick, 2 to 3 feet long, a root with a knob on it. And they throw that, and I believe David used that to slay the bear and the lion. But a shepherd's crook, everybody has a picture of a shepherd's crook, a long rod with a hook on the end of it. And he can reach out and he can guide the sheep that's walking in front of him as they are gathered around him and guide him where he wants to go. Or he can use it as a hook and pull them out of danger, someplace where they wandered off. And he can bring them back to himself. That's a promise for me. That's my shepherd. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. He's looking out for me. He's got my back. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Man. You know, God is not ashamed to provide for us in a world of wickedness around us. God blesses us. He sets a table, a banqueting table here on earth. And it's fellowship with fellow believers. I have pictured that. Hey, we like to eat, right? What better way? It's fellowship around the table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence, the very presence of mine enemies. He can give me peace to sit down and enjoy a meal or a fellowship with Him. He anointeth my head with oil. Now, the anointing of oil in the Old Testament was the anointing, a picture of giving of the Holy Spirit. And Aaron was anointed with oil when he was chosen to be the high priest. David was anointed with oil when he was chosen to be king and was led by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we believe that Jesus Christ was our Savior, in a picture we were anointed with oil because we were given the Holy Spirit to reside in us forever. That's the earnest of His promise of eternal life in us. That shepherd giving the Holy Spirit now to guide us here in this time frame that we are in. And my cup runneth over. You know, we really are blessed people. Not just because we live here in the United States. Believers all around the world feel the same way, even if they only make $5.59 a year. If they know Jesus Christ, they have so much, and they know it. That's why this Word of God that is being dedicated today in West Africa is so precious. We lost that someplace along the line in our affluence. But cherish this Word. It's what has brought us through this trial these past 2 years. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's another promise for the believer. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, remember, the shepherd leads his sheep, and we are like sheep. We need to follow. But here it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And when I think of goodness and mercy, there's only one person I think about. And it's not my wife. As good as she is and as merciful as she is, she's not as good and merciful as my Lord Jesus Christ. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a truth that is. If you have the Lord as your Savior, you can say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I want to share this with you. Hebrews 13:5b, the last part of that verse, says this in King James, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a promise. But let me read it to you backwards. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. That promise goes frontwards and backwards. It's a solid, for sure promise that He will be with us, He will lead us, He will guide us, He will protect us, He will give us a peace and quiet in our hearts, even in the storm. My cup runneth over. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now unto Him, Jesus Christ, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the Holy Spirit, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And as human beings, as wayward sheep, we can become very selfish and ask for a lot of things. But guess what? He gives us abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above that because He's His goodness and His mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have a home in heaven. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a home in heaven. I hope that today that Psalm 23 will be a little bit different in your eyes as you read it. It's not just a cutesy little thing that we see on a memorial card in a memorial service or a funeral home, but it is the Word of God full of promises for the believer today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for this opportunity just to share your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just be real in each one of our lives. And Lord, I just commit this morning to you and the rest of this day to you as we follow our shepherd and you watch over and guide and direct us as we go. In Jesus' precious name, amen.